Good morning, everyone. I am the substitute host today, John Stevenson. This is our first call-in show. And if you want to weigh in today on the issue we'll be discussing, call us at 503-325-0010. I'm here today with Jorge Gutierrez, who is the executive director of the Lower Columbia Hispanic Council, and station manager Graham Nystrom. Our topic today is the ballot measure number 105, which in essence, I could just give you a brief description, 105, a yes vote will repeal Oregon's sanctuary state law. A no vote will keep things the same. And during the show, we'll try and understand why people want to repeal our sanctuary state status. And hopefully you all will call in and weigh in. A yes vote on 105 will repeal Oregon's sanctuary state law. And what that does is limits the cooperation of local law enforcement. A no vote opposes the ballot initiative, thereby keeping the state sanctuary state law. Simply put, it focuses, a no vote will continue to allow law enforcement to focus on local issues, not immigration. And from my perspective, at least, they're fully employed doing that. It can be confusing because yes is a positive word, but this is one where you vote no and you may be doing something positive. Jorge, what is the driver behind this initiative to remove our sanctuary state status?
Well, I think really when it comes down to it, I think, you know, on the surface, it's really discrimination and racism because the sanctuary law is protecting all of our Oregonians, regardless of skin color. And if you remove the sanctuary protection, local law enforcement then, you know, has the authority to ask anybody for their papers, whether they're U.S. citizens, residents. And, you know, I strongly believe that that should be left to immigration authorities. If we look back at the history of how this law was implemented in the first place, this was almost 30 years ago. You know, it started around several actually U.S. citizens who were of Latino Hispanic origin were stopped by local police in Independence and asked about their immigration status. And again, these were U.S. citizens. And, you know, after this incident, these individuals brought a class action lawsuit against the state, which was, you know, unfortunately dismissed. However, it did lead to some legislative action. And really, the whole purpose was to prevent these types of incidences from happening again. And when the sanctuary law was approved, it had overwhelming support from both Democrats and from Republicans.
Right. One of the arguments that I hear for repealing sanctuary state status is that an illegal act, at the core, an illegal act has been committed in that people didn't go through the immigration process to become legal immigrants. And it seems as though that's the basis for the argument, is that these people are already criminals and law enforcement would just be doing their job. And I think every American on this goes much broader than just Oregon. I think the first question you should come up with in discussing our immigration laws is, what would you do with the estimated 12 million people who have been here for generations but came into the country illegally. Obviously, 12 million people is a big number. And if you say we should give them amnesty, if you say we should give them a fast track towards citizenship, or if you say they should all be deported immediately, then I think that can be persuasive to how you take how you form your opinion on Measure 105. From my point of view, it's a little bit moot given the duration of the stay of so many of these people and their productivity and their kids who speak perfect English and are American in every way except the immigration status of their parents. And there's a lot of negative enthusiasm in the country right now for deportation. Just also on number 105, one of the arguments is that criminals get away with something. And just to make sure everybody knows, when a local law enforcement apprehends a criminal, regardless of their immigration status, they get into the judicial process. If they're found to be here illegally, then maybe the final step, if not prison, would be deportation. So it's not a run amok situation at all. And that's how it's being presented by one side of the argument.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point to bring up. You know, I think the term sanctuary, which personally I actually don't like, you know, it gives this connotation that, you know, come here, come to our state, and we are going to protect you no matter what. That is completely false. You know, a lot of the yes on 105 people are using this as a fear tactic and saying, well, no, you know, if there's undocumented people that commit murder or other serious crimes, you know, if they come to Oregon, they're going to be protected. That is not true. That is completely false. And, you know, our local law enforcement will continue to hold everyone accountable, regardless of immigration status. If you're documented or undocumented, if you commit a felony or another serious crime, you are going to be prosecuted the same way as anyone else would.
Right. And that seems to be a major talking point to the yes side of the argument, is that sanctuary implies chaos and lawlessness, which it just doesn't. 503-325-0010. We'd love to hear from you and weigh in on this measure. It's very important, and there's not that many states that have sanctuary status. I think seven. And I think Oregon is proud to be amongst that group. And you get into bigger issues like discrimination based on skin color and so forth. When they say these people are criminals already, it just sort of happens to be that they're all a darker skin tone than the average person, or what we expect out of an average person. So there is that factor in there, and we can deal with that by moving progressively, or we can just go at number 105 practically. And I think in both cases, you probably would end up being a no vote. You know, as a reminder, again, a yes vote removes sanctuary status. A no vote continues sanctuary status for the state.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I also, you know, would like to mention is that it's not just affecting undocumented individuals. So this is something that's affecting pretty much anyone that is, for lack of a better term, not white. Again, just going back to the origins of the sanctuary law, it was implemented because we were seeing cases of racial profiling all around the state by our local law enforcement. So, you know, with the sanctuary law, there's no question. You can't ask somebody, you can't single people out based on what they look to ask if they are documented or undocumented. And I think, you know, that is one of the most important reasons why it's important to vote no on this.
We've all seen movies from the 30s as Nazism was on the rise in Europe, and the local law enforcement in those movies were continually saying, "Show me your papers." I can just see Peter Lorre being asked that and him running away and getting killed in Casablanca. So this "show me your papers" stuff should incite worry and fear, I think, in the American people.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a group called the Repeal Oregon Sanctuary Law Committee, and they have a lot of money to get rid of the sanctuary status. Largest donors include the Federation for American Immigration Reform, called FAIR, and Oregonians for Immigration Reform. If you want to look them up, you can see their point of view and maybe give us a call and weigh in if you support that point of view, and see if we can discuss that practically, legally, and so forth.
That's right. This show is called The Conversation, and you are invited to join the conversation. And this radio station was started as a means for the community to be able to talk to itself, and so is this show. So if you're listening and you have some thoughts about this, please do give us a call. We'd love to put you on the air and hear your side of the story. 503-325-0010. Join the conversation. John?
I'm just looking at the website for Oregonians for Immigration Reform, and what they believe is federal law should be changed to require prosecution and deportation of all people who are here illegally. So their point of view on the 12 million would be deportation, out you go. And I don't know anybody that has not encountered a Mexican family or a Central American family in their life. I grew up in Los Angeles, and I was proud of my Mexican friends. I have no idea what their status was, but I know they spoke good English, and their parents did not. And it's just the way immigration has gone for centuries in America. The first generation maintains the culture they came from and the language, and by the time the second generation comes along, they're as normal as can be.
So we do have a caller. Let's put him on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Welcome to the conversation.
Hi, my name is Beth, and I'm calling from Clatskanie. And I think it's important to note that those two groups that were just mentioned are recognized hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center. So when we're deciding with whom we want to affiliate, we should consider whose side are you on? Do you want to associate with people who are recognized hate groups, or do you want to associate with people who came here wanting to be Americans, and perhaps they are undocumented, but they're contributing to our society? And are we going to stop them and demand to see their papers just because they appear to be, they're not Caucasian? Is that who we are as Oregonians? When we're voting on Measure 105, we're deciding whether we're going to make racial profiling legal or whether it's going to remain illegal as it has been for 30 years.
That's a good point. And I think going up a little bit and looking from on high on the issues, you do get into the sort of values and sort of the mission of Oregon. And your point is well taken, that not just from practical standpoints, but ethical standpoints. Is that the kind of place we want to be, this gated community? And Oregon has a troubled past in this regard from its founding.
That's right. And 30 years ago, in a bipartisan way, Oregon rejected that. And we're getting another chance now, and a chance to say who we are. And this is an important vote.
Absolutely. And it should also be pointed out that a lot of the support from those two groups come from out of state. So a lot of the money that funnels their activities aren't even from Oregon.
That's an excellent point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, I I have a difficult time trying to figure out what is at the core of their motivation.
Really? I don't think it's difficult at all.
Go on.
I think it's pretty clear. There are two recognized hate groups putting forward a racial profiling measure.
So you believe at the core that these people are fundamental racists?
Yes, I do. I think that they're clearly racist. They are two recognized racist groups identified by the Southern Poverty Law Center putting forth a racist measure on our ballot, asking us to racially profile our neighbors and to ask the police to stop protecting our communities and to spend their time racially profiling Oregonians.
Yeah, and it should also be added, I think Jorge made the point, that sanctuary implies complete freedom from law. But it's just not true.
That is absolutely not true. When people go into the system here, law enforcement sends fingerprint data to the FBI. They arrest people for committing crimes regardless of their status. So it's not that people who are undocumented because they live in what would be called a sanctuary state are allowed to run free. They are treated like documented citizens would be. What happens, though, is that they have the protection of law enforcement now, and they are able to report crimes, and they are able to come forward as witnesses to other people who have had crimes committed against them.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a history of that when those without papers are oppressed, that we lose witnesses because they just can't afford to come forward.
Absolutely.
And get busted themselves.
There's a lot of fear. So, you know, there's already fear as it is. If the law is repealed, you know, it opens the door really for a lot of undocumented folks to be exploited because they're going to be afraid to go to law enforcement.
Absolutely. They'll be taken advantage of because they can't report crime against themselves. This is terrible. This is a terrible thing to be making a choice for this vulnerable group of people, and we need to make the right choice. This is an opportunity for us to do the right thing.
Ronald Reagan thought so also, and he granted amnesty to a large group of people without papers.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask you the same question I think all Americans need to ask while we're talking about core beliefs. And what to do with the 12 million? What do you think would be the most typical answer to that question?
What do I think would be the most typical answer to the question of what we should do with people who came here as undocumented citizens,
right,
undocumented residents? I think an amnesty program would probably be the very best way to go. People are here. They are contributing. They are parts of our community. I think that the amnesty program that was implemented under President Reagan worked out very well. And I think that the current system that we have for people becoming citizens is unwieldy and expensive and doesn't take into consideration the fact that we need people to come here and we need them to do the kinds of jobs that new residents typically do.
Right. I'm just wondering if you have an opinion on what the average American
would say,
yeah. What's your sense?
I don't know. I don't know if the average American has really thought about it, has thought about the specifics, the legalities of it. So I don't know what the average American would say. I know that I hope the average Oregonian will consider what kind of a state we want to live in and will consider how this legislation would affect the lives of vulnerable people and people that they probably interact with and aren't aware that this will affect.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was just going to mention, too, that I think that, I think most people don't really stop to think about how entrenched these families already are in the way of life here in America.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that propose deporting everyone, really, you really have to question whether they've really thought this through, because the effect that would have on our economy,
mm-hmm,
is tremendous. You know, I just want to mention that one of the things that people always say is that, immigrants are just here to take our jobs and sponge from the system and not pay their taxes. And this is completely false.
Absolutely.
The overwhelming majority of documented individuals pay taxes.
Right.
Unless their employer messes with the system, but that's not on the employee.
Right.
They have withholding tax just mm-hmm. like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And they don't sponge on the system because it's dangerous for them to come forward. If anything, I'd say they use it less than a documented citizen.
Right. No, absolutely.
Right. But they pay into taxes and things that they'll never get back. They pay into Social Security that they'll never get back.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we shouldn't be naive because that deportation of everyone is not on the table these days.
It's a discussion point in some circles, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to let somebody else talk.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
So while we're waiting for that next call to get transferred into the air room, that was a good call from Beth and Klatskanai. Thank you, Beth.
Here's a question. If I vote no on Measure 105, am I voting to give sanctuary to people that commit crimes? And the answer is an emphatic no. Oregon's anti-racial profiling law does not protect people that commit crimes or harm others, whether they are immigrants or not. Under the current law, Oregon law enforcement can arrest and prosecute anyone that commits a crime. What local and state police are not able to do is stop, detain, or interrogate someone solely based on their suspicions about their immigration status.
So we've got another caller. Welcome to the conversation.
Fabulous conversation so far. I just want to add one note that I was reading on the People's History of the United States about in the 1700s, racism was used as a tool. And in the Carolinas, there were 25,000 whites versus 40,000 black slaves and 60,000 indigenous Indians. At that time, they were very concerned. The whites were very concerned. These are property owners, the one percenters. They were at that time they were earning about 45% of the total wealth of the country was in white property owners' hands. They used incentives to keep the Indians from collaborating with the blacks. And they kept strong, they required, they did not allow blacks to have any skilled operations or jobs that could take away jobs from whites. So they were using racism as a wedge. Racism is a wedge, and it is wielded by the top property owners in our country. And we need to be aware of it as a wedge. Kicking Muslims off of the roster of immigration is a wedge item. Turning back refugees, folks from Honduras, you know, the caravan that we are hearing so much about is a wedge issue. We don't want people of color voting. In Georgia, we are using the electoral process and registration, voter registrations, to wedge black citizens away from the voter booth. So I just want to add that racism is a wedge being wielded by people of power. We need to take back our responsibility as citizens. We need to look at simple things like kindness and what better laws can we create and what is patriotism in this country? What do we want? How can we embrace all of our immigration? We are all immigrants after all. So how do we make it a fair, just system rather than buy into another little wedge law? So I just wanted to add that it's a tool that it has been used throughout history to keep us. They wanted to keep blacks from uniting with indigenous people. So we need to realize this is just something we are being asked to do, to cut out part of our politic, part of our cohesive country. And we need to vote for better laws, not ostracizing different groups. So
on this issue specifically, it seems like if you just drill down a little bit to find the motivation for the people that want to remove this status, I think most people would be alarmed.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you for your conversation this morning, and I will let you continue on.
Well, thank you for your comments.
Bye.
A couple good calls there. The idea of, I think supporting the no vote on this has statistical ammo with regard to crime levels amongst illegal, what's the right word? I say illegal aliens, but I don't think that's appropriate.
Undocumented
people, and you'll find that crime in that group is lower than the average amongst full-blown citizens. And you can go through the talking points of the people that want to remove our sanctuary status, and I think each one of them, maybe not 100%, but for the most part, can be dissed. And if you keep your eye on the target, like the last caller brought up about where we stand ethically as a country, I think that would be some of your strongest ammo. You have to remember on this ballot initiative 105 that a yes vote removes sanctuary status. A no vote keeps the status quo, which is that Oregon is a sanctuary state. And all that really means in a nutshell is that local law enforcement does local law enforcement that does not include immigration issues, because the only way they can do it is by profiling. And as Jorge explained earlier, that profiling is the reason that we became a sanctuary state.
We had one community member drop a comment in that immigration laws didn't exist when our grandparents came. So thank you for that comment. And regarding the last caller's comment, I think that as a critical thinking population in this country, which I hope we all can be, that acknowledging when divide and conquer tactics are being used, let's rise above that. I've always seen my neighbors as my neighbors, my fellow Oregonians as my fellow Oregonians, and my fellow Americans as Americans. And it doesn't really matter to me how much money you make or what color your skin is or what kind of car you drive or what color your political affiliation is. I think that we do owe it to each other and ourselves to work harder to make this world better rather than emphasizing those divide and conquer tactics and pitting us against each other, because we are people, all of us.
You know, and I think anybody that has worked with people from Mexico or Central America know what fine people they are. The concept of, in quotes, the lazy Mexican is just the opposite of truth. I grew up around Mexican families, and I worked greater part of my career with people from Mexico, and I would personally fight like a tiger if somebody tried to drag them off.
Agreed.
We might have time for one quick call, 503-325-0010. We got about a minute and a half if you want to weigh in. We'd love to hear from someone who thinks removing sanctuary status is a good idea. Don't be afraid. We'd love to hear it.
And while we're watching for that phone to ring, I'd invite any last comments from Jorge.
Yeah, actually, I just wanted to leave with maybe a few comments from some of the community members that this would affect. As part of my job, I obviously get to interact with hundreds of families every year. And, you know, I've been really talking to people about this and just to get a sense of, you know, how it would affect them and how they feel about it. And obviously, you know, people are afraid. And just to give you a few quotes, you know, I talked to a high school student who is half white and half Hispanic. And, you know, when I talked to her, she said, let me just read it here. She said, "My skin is white. My English is perfect. As you see me, measure 105 would not affect me at all. But I am only 15 years old and have a father who has brown skin. If this measure passes, I fear my father could be deported." And then I talked to another another man from the community, and he said, "There's already a lot of fear within the Hispanic community, and if measure 105 passes, this would add to that fear. Some families may be too afraid to send their children to school or take them in or take them to the doctor when they are sick." So I think it's just important to really highlight that these are real people. These are people who are probably your neighbors, who you may even know but may not know about their immigration status. And so, you know, when you really look at it that way, you realize that it's really affecting a lot of good people, people from the community. And so just think about that as you're casting your vote. And I really do hope that it's a no vote.
Right. When you talk to your neighbors or the people you discuss this with, you might want to remind them that it's the no vote that maintains the status quo as a sanctuary state. Yes vote removes that. It's a little confusing because yes is usually seen as a positive word, but in this case, it's not.
So I think we're going to be out of time for that last call that's coming in, but thank you for this conversation today, Jorge and John. And thank you for listening to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, streaming live at coastradio.org.